Well, hello, everybody. This is Robert the Tech Doctor. We are here for a special edition of the podcast to have a conversation about the WWDC 2014 keynote address that happened on the day of this recording. And I think out there somewhere is the beautiful and talented Gary, along with his owner, Allison Hartley. Are you there, Allison?
I tell you, I feel so special right now. And re-WWDC, mind equals blown. I think Gary enjoyed himself, too. He got to sleep a lot today. So
yeah, lucky thing. So let's just jump right into it and go through it, because there's quite a bit. We'll try to make this a fairly short podcast, but there's a lot to talk about. The keynote began with a video where people were basically talking about how much they appreciated and enjoyed their apps. That's basically what I got out of it. Did you have anything to add to the intro video?
Yeah, I was listening to the Twit coverage, and it was very entertaining for one thing, and it kind of helped with little descriptions of what was going on in the video. I think that it's a good thing that they do that at the beginning of these conferences, because it kind of rings home to the developers, hey, this is why we do this. This is why we get up in the morning. This is why we put so much of our time, effort, and money into making these awesome apps. So I liked it.
Excellent. Yeah, I thought it was a nice way to start out. And then Tim Cook came and gave us some numbers, which I thought were kind of interesting. I'm just going to go through a few of them here. There's an actual decline in overall PC growth, but the Mac has grown in the past year at the rate of 12%. There are more than 40 million Mavericks installations, and 51% of Mac users are running Mavericks, and that's compared to 14% of Windows users who are running Windows 8, which is the latest version of the Windows operating system.
I liked his little touch of humor there, too, where he's like, just in case anyone was wondering, I made a chart.
yeah, that was pretty good. Clearly, he wanted to make a comment about his competitor there. There are 9 million registered Apple developers. And at the WWDC 2014 conference, there are developers there from 69 countries.
Wow.
And 70% of the developers are attending WWDC for the first time. And the youngest developer there is aged 13.
That was really cool.
They went on pretty soon after that and introduced the new version of OS X, which is going to be called Yosemite. And I actually like that name. I think that was a good choice.
I think it's cool. I actually like it better than Mavericks. People know Yosemite. People, even if you've never been to California, everybody knows about Yosemite. Nobody knew what the hell Mavericks was.
Exactly. Yeah, I certainly wasn't familiar with it at all until it was the name of the operating system last year. One of the first features they talked about that's going to be in Yosemite is a feature they call Continuity, which allows apps to be used across devices. So if you start an email on your Mac, you can pick it up and continue writing it on your iPhone or your iPad or in any order that you choose. They're really trying to integrate, it felt like to me, in a smart way, the Mac with the other iOS devices. So I thought that was kind of cool.
At long last, I'm really excited about this. And I know they had to wait this long because they wanted to be able to do it right. But I'm so glad it's finally here, or it's going to be.
Yeah, it's really going to make it nice to be able to use them interchangeably like that. I didn't really understand too much about this feature, but they said now that there are light and dark modes for the interface. And I'm hoping that somehow that might be of some help to people who have low vision.
That'd be great. I personally would not avail myself of those, but certainly I have many, many friends and colleagues who are low vision, and I want them to be able to take full advantage of the Mac as well. So, hey, if it's going to help you, that's awesome.
Yeah, and more visual things. There are redesigned icons, and there's a translucent background, and a lot of the apps now have new sidebars. The Notification Center has been redesigned in Yosemite. It has a new today view, and it looks apparently quite similar to the Notification Center in iOS 7. And it's also true now that in Yosemite, third-party developers are going to be able to add widgets to the Notification Center. So we're going to be able to get our sports scores right in the Notification Center, for example.
That's pretty awesome. You know, I don't use the Notification Center on the Mac very much. I use the heck out of it on iOS. But on the Mac, not as much. So I'm hoping that perhaps this will entice me to take another look and to utilize it a little more.
Yeah, I'm the same way, and I suspect it's going to cause us to use it more on the Mac. The calendar now has a new day and a new week view, and I'm hoping that those will work well with VoiceOver.
Me too.
And of course, after we spent our time talking recently, and we'll eventually podcast about it, talking recently about LaunchBar, which is an incredible app for quickly launching applications, doing all kinds of neat things from the keyboard. They've come out with a redesign of Spotlight, which adds some of the features of some of the LaunchBar type features into Spotlight now on the Mac. I personally don't think this will replace my desire to use LaunchBar, but it's nice to see it.
No, I think I'll be able to use them, you know, more concurrently together, but I definitely think I'll still keep LaunchBar around. I'm liking learning about it.
Yeah, but it's nice to see a little bit of a facelift to Spotlight.
Yeah, it needed it for sure.
And they next talked about how it looks like to me, and I don't know what your thoughts are, but it looks like to me Apple is kind of going to go head-to-head with Dropbox here, because they introduced iCloud Drive, and it allows you to sync files and folders across your Mac and iOS devices. And apparently there's going to be some iCloud Drive app for Windows as well. But they're going to allow users to purchase up to 1 terabyte of storage. We don't know yet what the price of 1 terabyte will be, but they did say you can get 200 gigabytes for $4 a month. So
that's incredible. I pay $100 a year right now for 100 gigabytes through Dropbox, and I do not think I will be renewing my Dropbox subscription, because mostly nowadays I live in the Apple ecosystem, especially since it's also going to be available on Windows. There's really no need for me to keep paying for Dropbox at those competitive prices if I can get twice the storage for half the money.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting to see whether or not Dropbox lowers its prices.
They're going to have to if they're going to want to stay around.
Yeah, they're kind of in a bind, though, because that's the only service they offer, really, you know, for sale, whereas Apple makes its money on the hardware, so it can afford probably to offer storage service cheaper. But it'll be interesting to see how Dropbox does respond.
Yeah.
And also interesting to see just how well this iCloud Drive actually ends up working. I hope it works really well.
I hope so too.
There's going to be a new service available in Apple Mail called iDrop. And this solves a problem that's been a problem for a lot of us for a long time, which is the problem if you need to send someone a large attachment in mail, they usually get rejected by the server on the other end. But Apple has solved this problem, allowing one to send an attachment of up to 5 gigabytes.
That's going to be another game changer, because that's a lot of what I use Dropbox for now, is sending public links to people. So it's going to be very interesting, and again, another reason why I don't really need Dropbox anymore.
I think all the things that we're pointing out here are really indications that Apple has really been listening to its customer base, because these are all things that people wanted.
Mm-hmm. They've stepped up to the plate in a huge way, and we're not done yet.
And they've made it now so that AirDrop, works between Mac and iOS devices.
Hallelujah.
Yeah. Yeah, lots of people have wanted AirDrop to work between with the Mac as well as iOS, so that's going to be nice to have.
Yes.
And this is an interesting one. If your Mac and your phone are close together and the phone realizes that the Mac is not connected to a Wi-Fi network, the phone will automatically create a hotspot.
That's drool-worthy. I can think of many incidences where this could have really helped me, and in the future it will.
And I love this one. You can now make and receive phone calls and send SMS messages from your Mac.
That is too cool.
As long as your phone is somewhere around, somewhere in, across the house, they said.
Mm-hmm.
If a phone call comes in, then this happens to my wife, Vicky, a lot. When she's sitting at her desk, she'll get a phone call, and her phone will be in the kitchen or whatever. And but now she can just take the call on her Mac.
That's incredible. I'm really looking forward to that.
Well, Yosemite will ship this fall, and it's going to be free.
And there is a limited public beta. I don't think it's going to be updated with as much frequency as the developer betas, and they're limiting it to the first 1 million people who sign up. So you can certainly Google and find out more information about that. I don't have exact information in terms of URL, but I know for my purposes, I'm already an iOS developer. I'm probably just going to become a Mac developer as well, so I can start playing with the betas on my virtual machine software.
Very good. And of course, they didn't stop there today with Yosemite. They went on to talk about iOS 8. And they talked about how the Notification Center will allow one to respond from within the Notification Center. And I'm really looking forward to that.
Me too.
So if you get an instant message, for example, you can do some sort of gesture and respond to that message right there. Keyboard comes up and you don't have to exit out of notifications, go into the messaging app, and respond that way. So that's going to be really nice.
Yes.
You can also access your favorites and recently used contacts by double-clicking the home button. And I'm not sure what that's going to mean for the way that we used to get into the app switcher by double-clicking the home button, but that's what they were saying today.
I think they were implying that it's going to be part of the app switcher, at least by my understanding of what they were saying. I can see times when I would really want that and times where perhaps I wouldn't. So I hope there is a way to hide that when I don't want it, because there are times when I just want to go into the app switcher and see my apps.
Right. So I'm sure there'll be a reasonable way for that to work.
Yeah, yeah.
We don't know the details.
Probably it'll be put on a separate page or something, which will be just fine by me.
Yeah. There are some new gestures in iOS Mail that's going to make it easier to flag and delete emails. And we'll have to see how well those work or how they work with VoiceOver.
Yeah.
And when writing an email message, you can somehow swipe down now and see the other things that are in your inbox. So perhaps if you wanted to go into a different message and copy something that you wanted to paste into the message that you're writing, it makes it easy to do that. And then when you've got the information that you want, you can do a gesture and the draft that you were working on will come back. So it seems like that's going to be pretty cool. It's just a little bit another sort of way of doing multiple things without having to exit one thing and come back to it and so forth.
Yeah, it's a nice, easy way of dealing with drafts, because it's always been such a pain to go in and find the draft you were working on before. And now you can just do this, whatever this gesture is going to end up being, and keep going. Keep writing your message.
There's a new predictive typing feature, which is supposed to be much smarter and much better able to predict what it is you're actually wanting to type than what's currently in iOS 7. So we'll see how that works.
Yeah, I'm so dependent on dictation at this point. I don't know how much I would use that, but it'll be an interesting feature to play with.
Of course, iOS 8 will support continuity and iCloud Drive, just like we talked about on the Mac. That makes everything hopefully work together really well.
Can't wait.
And there's now something that I've heard so many people on podcasts ask for, and it's the ability for families who share the same credit card to access each other's content, apps, music, and movies, and so forth. Apparently, they've made it much easier for that to happen.
That's awesome.
And as a lot of people predicted, Apple introduced something called HealthKit, which is going to allow people to bring their health information together in one place and even allow hospitals and doctors, when needed, to be able to automatically and quickly access that information. And they did stress that they are very much interested in being very careful with people's privacy, but they've found ways to do this.
This is going to be a game changer. I hope all the major and not so major medical providers will sign on to this, because this could revolutionize health and save lives. I mean, this has the potential to save lives. I really believe that.
It does, and it's going to make it so much easier for us to keep our medical information together.
And accessible.
Yep, and accessible. Siri's gotten some love in iOS 8. Siri's now going to be able to listen all the time, and if you want to talk to her hands-free, I guess you're gonna have to say, hey Siri,
which I say half the time anyway, so
yeah. So you're already halfway there.
Yep.
And Siri's gonna be automatically using Shazam to automatically identify songs. When you hear a song somewhere, Siri will know what it is and will make it possible for you to identify it right there and purchase it if you
want
to.
That's neat, because I can't tell you how many times I'm in a restaurant and I'm like, oh man, I love that song. I don't know what the heck it is. That solves that problem.
And as also predicted, Apple introduced something called HomeKit, which brings all the home automation options under one umbrella so that your iOS device can control various things around your house. And apparently that's even going to be integrated with Siri. So you're going to be able to tell Siri, okay, it's bedtime, and Siri will shut down your lights and make sure your doors are locked and adjust your thermostat, things like that. So that's going to be really cool for home automation.
That's going to be sweet, because I have crappy light perception and Jeremy, my husband, has no light perception. So just the fact that we'll be able to get all the lights turned off and know they're off.
Yes, won't that be good? Because we don't think Siri will lie.
No, he or she will be truthful.
We hope. And something that surprised everyone, as far as I know, Apple introduced a new programming language for developers called Swift.
I'm so glad I didn't go too far in learning Objective-C, because now I can just learn Swift.
Yes. You're very, very good. So that is excellent. And it sounds like it's quite an efficient language for writing iOS and OS X apps. So
apparently it lives up to its name.
Yeah, it's very Swift. I think developers were excited about it. Seemed like got a good reaction.
Mm-hmm.
And Apple is apparently going to allow us to use third-party keyboards now in iOS, which probably means good things for apps like Embraille and Flexi.
Mm-hmm. And I did see in one of the tweets that there was a slide that very briefly mentioned that there would be a default option for a 6-dot Braille keyboard shipping with iOS 8. So it'll be interesting to play with that.
Yep, I saw that as well. And we don't know exactly what.
And the Alex voice, which I'm personally quite excited about. I like Karen and everything, but I have Alex on the Mac, and I'd like to have him on the iPhone too.
Yep, that was the next thing on my list.
Sorry, I jumped. I'm just too excited here, Robert.
No problem. You are excited, and that's fabulous. And the final thing that I took note of today was that it's going to be possible in iOS 8 for us to determine battery status by app. So you're going to be able to tell which of your apps is really draining your battery.
Yes.
And I think that's going to be go a long way toward helping people who have battery issues resolve those problems.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, some people were expecting new hardware to be introduced today. I personally was not.
No.
The WWDC is all about developers and what they need to be able to create software. And so I didn't expect hardware. And honestly, there's enough new stuff here that I'm not at all disappointed that we didn't see hardware today.
You know, in reading through the Twittersphere and the blogosphere today, I noticed that a lot of people were saying, oh, well, Android has had this feature. Android has been able to do such and such for 4 years now. But the differentiating factor between iOS and Android, as for me at least, and for a lot of people, and especially a lot of people who are blind or visually impaired, the user experience on iOS has been far superior. And I think that that's going to continue as we move into iOS 8 and this continuity with other Macs and iOS devices. I think that we're just going to see that continue. So ultimately, it doesn't matter that Apple did not innovate per se when they introduced these features in the sense that they are not new to the mobile space. However, they're going to be better because Apple is going to provide that far superior experience. And that's just that's my two cents. You can take it or leave it. That's just what I think.
Yeah, Apple doesn't often come to the table first. They have on a number of occasions with hardware, with the iPad and the iPhone and all that. But oftentimes they sort of sit back and wait and see how things evolve. And then when they introduce something, it works really well. And you know, really great battery life is an example of that.
Mm-hmm.
They don't introduce things that will compromise battery life until they can bring those things without zapping your battery. And the other platforms don't operate that way.
No, they don't come to the table first, but they come to the table best. And that's the important thing.
Well, very well said.
Oh, thank you. Occasionally I do that.
you were just incredibly articulate and concise and poignant with what you had to say there.
And passionate, I hope. I hope my passion shines through here.
Absolutely. Passions come through. So really, I think those are the highlights that I got out of today. Is there anything from your perspective that you really wanted us to mention that we haven't?
No, I think we covered everything, which is incredible considering how much there was. But yeah, I think we have we've consolidated it down to a nice little bite-sized meal here.
I will say so long for now. For me, the tech doctor, we will see you next time around, and we'll try to get this out soon so you can hear all about WWDC. So this is Robert saying goodbye for now, you all.
And this is Allison Hartley saying bye, everyone. Hot damn, we did it.